author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
It's a little ironic, to say the least. I'm sitting here fighting off cold symptoms that just hit me today. I mean, sneezing like crazy out of the blue, coughing, sneezing, and wanted to talk to you about, does God raise the dead today? I'm going to play a clip for you. Is this a documented stateside example of the dead being raised? Is it divine intervention? Is it medical intervention? And do these things happen according to our faith, or just did God's sovereign will, or is it all a sham? Michael Brown, thanks for being with us today. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. I received a report from a colleague, friend, former student, minister of the gospel, who was telling me about his cardiologist in Florida. Apparently a highly respected, world-renowned cardiologist who is a tremendous man of faith, prays for all of his patients, and has seen miracles happen, including the dead being raised here in the States. Now look, I'm a believer, and I have a mind. In other words, I believe God. I believe his word. I don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not operative today. I believe that God still heals and works miracles. And with that, I've heard a lot of bogus reports. I've heard a lot of flaky reports. I've heard a lot of things that allegedly were this and that. When you check it out, the person that was allegedly healed of cancer, they're dead now. Allegedly got out of a wheelchair, they're still crippled. You know, the reports are bogus, exaggerated, or the healing's only partial. So I like to be sure. Before I repeat something, before I share something, I like to be sure. And I didn't doubt my friend for a split second. Didn't doubt him for a split second. But I when he said that the news reported on, I said, can you send me a link? So he sent me an amazing link. And we'll have it on our website, askdrbrown.org, on the line of fire. We'll have it up shortly with the topic for today. But I'm going to play some of this for you. This is from a news report on TV, but everything is clear on the audio, so you'll get the full feeling of what happened and the amazing impact it's had on the individual who was raised from the dead. I want to get your take on it. When you hear something like this, does it inspire you to greater faith? Does it say we just have to go after it and believe God more? Because this cardiologist, this is not a random thing. In other words, his heart is set, as he does his scientific and medical work, on seeing God move, seeing God heal, seeing God work miracles, and he pursues these things in God and believes for them. Is that why they happen? Is it just sovereign, random? You never know when something like this will or won't happen. Certainly we all agree that most people that die are not raised from the dead, and in Jesus' ministry, even when it speaks about him healing all the sick, it doesn't say he raised all the dead. That was exceptional, unusual. Or are you, when you hear this, honestly skeptical? Honestly, I don't know. I need to hear more, even though this is a cardiologist and a secular news report involved. Now, before I play that for you, I've been thinking about topics that I want to be debating here on the Line of Fire as we schedule more debates in this year. Again, just a few days from now, January 26th and 27th, I'm scheduled to debate my friend and colleague, and in this sense, theological opponent, Dr. James White, on the issue of Calvinism. Anthony Buzzard, who's written books against the Trinity, has agreed to be on the broadcast February 8th. So we have these things lined up for you and a lot more to come. But I was thinking, boy, I want to debate somebody on the gifts of the Spirit, how the gifts of the Spirit ceased, cessationism. I didn't say this to anybody. I was just thinking about it, praying. And I got an email today from a very gracious Christian gentleman who does a lot of public debates. He's well-spoken. And he said, hey, would you be interested in doing a debate? He was talking about in person. You know, here's one topic, or another topic is, are the gifts of the Spirit for today? So I thought, absolutely, let's do it on the radio. That was kind of neat. But this ties in with it. So listen to this report. Does God raise the dead today. Does your theology allow for that? Does your theology cause you to be totally skeptical when you hear this? Or have you been burned by flaky things? Or does this encourage you? Hey, if God does this, what can we expect? So here is a news report from a local station in Florida. The cardiologist, Dr. Chauncey Crandall, nationally renowned, according to the report here, that's been posted on YouTube. So let's listen to the news.
Is it a medical mystery or a miracle?
A South Florida man pronounced dead from a massive heart attack, then brought back to life. His doctor says this man was raised from the dead by a simple prayer. iTeam's Louis Aguirre has the story.
Dr. Chauncey Crandall isn't your usual doctor. The world-renowned cardiologist is a man of medicine and science, but he's also a man of faith.
If you come in with a problem into our service, we're going to definitely treat you with conventional medicine, but we're going to believe too. We're going to attack it with conventional medicine, and we're going to attack it with prayer.
And we pray for his healing.
He calls himself the Christian physician because he prays with each heart patient he sees at his Palm Beach practice. The difference, he says, is dramatic.
And command your healing.
Well, the reason I pray for people is because early on in my training, I found out that there were miracles. There were unexplained healings.
But even his strong faith couldn't prepare him for what would happen the day Jeff Markin walked into the Palm Beach Gardens emergency room.
All right, so here's a situation where you've got someone who is believing for healing all the time as he's ministering to the sick. As a doctor for him, it's both and. These are good things. God has given us tools to heal through medical science or to work with God in medical science. And he's given us faith. He's given us prayer to trust him. And according to this doctor, he saw miracles which pushed him more into believing God and praying. It would just be like we pray, but we also try to rest well and take care of our bodies and so on and so forth and not abuse ourselves in the same way. Vitamins, have this and that. Okay. How about medicine? How about medical science? Sure. Why not? But don't divorce that from God. Don't make them two separate things. Make them one. So here's a man of faith, but something happens above and beyond the norm.
So I drove to the Gardens Hospital, went in, took out my wallet.
Now, this is the guy talking who had the heart attack.
And fell on the floor with a massive heart attack.
For 40 minutes, doctors and nurses in the ER tried to revive him. When they couldn't get his heart started again, they called for Dr. Crandall, who was doing rounds in the hospital at the time.
And as I entered the emergency room, it was like a war zone. Here was this lifeless body on a stretcher.
The doctor couldn't do anything and could only confirm what everyone already knew. Jeff was dead. He had gone almost an hour without a heartbeat, and his body was starting to decompose.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death.
All right, so you get the picture here. They're in the emergency room. This guy is over 40 minutes without a heartbeat. They've tried to revive him. They shock through everything. You know, whatever they do hasn't worked. Pronounce him dead. And I've not seen a body in this state as the doctor has, but he sees it all the time. Black now with death. There's a white man whose body is black physically with death and starting to degenerate. What do you do?
So, well, let's just call the code. Let's end it, because there's no life left.
As Dr. Crandall turned to leave, he says he got another call. This time, a call from God to pray.
A voice told me, turn around and pray for that man. And I looked down at that body, and I said, Lord, what can I pray for this man? He's gone. All of a sudden, these words came from my mouth.
Father God,
I cry out for this man's soul, Lord. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now.
Despite protests from doctors and nurses who were preparing Jeff's body for the morgue, Dr. Crandall insisted they shock him one more time.
So that doctor came over with those paddles, blasted that man, and all of a sudden, instantly, a perfect heartbeat appeared on that monitor. The stomach started moving. The chest started moving. This man started breathing on his own. And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
So, where was Jeff during all of this?
All right, now you get to hear the guy's experience, etc., what happened. The bottom line is he's now going to church. He's now reading the Bible. He's now trying to find out why he has been literally raised from the dead and spared for a divine purpose. Does God literally raise the dead today? If he does that mess with your theology? When you hear an account like this, are you skeptical? What do you think? We'll talk about this. We come back. Got a bunch of other things to get into as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about raising the dead today. Back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Or email me directly at Dr. Brown. It's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Does God raise the dead today? Well, you hear accounts of it happened in Africa, or it happened in China, or it happened in India. If he does it, does he do it in America? Well, according to a report just played, with a cardiologist from Florida, committed Christian and world-renowned cardiologist. He saw the dead raised in an emergency room. They just said, okay, he's dead. We tried to bring him back 40-plus minutes without a heartbeat, body turning black with death. It's over. They shocked him a number of times. Nothing happened. Doctor, you know, pronouncing him dead, doctor leaves the room and feels, the Lord says, because he's a man that seeks the Lord and a man who believes God in the midst of his medical practice, feels that the Lord tells him to go back and pray. Everybody going to pray. The guy's dead. The guy's dead. Like I said at the outset of the show, I've been fighting sneezing and coughing today, kind of out of the blue. It's like, oh, I'm not healed immediately of sneezing and coughing. Is it my unbelief? Is it something else? Whatever. And here we're going to talk about raising the dead. But he goes back and prays. People in the emergency room are protesting. You know, am I going to pray? And he prayed, you know, especially if the man doesn't know the Lord, that the Lord would bring him back. And they shock him once more. Bing! Perfect heartbeat. Wow. You said, well, why the shocking? Well, here's a doctor who practices medicine and faith together, believes God and practices medicine together. So for him, it's a natural. You pray and you do what you can medically. Either way, it's a miracle. Do you have a theology that precludes that? If you say the gifts of the Spirit, healing, and not for today, well, raising the dead? And here's a man that regularly prays for the sick and believes that healing is for today. In fact, normally if you hear an account of someone being raised from the dead, then that goes along with people who believe in healing. All right, let me tell you another story here. Many of you know we minister regularly in India. 16 out of the last 17 years I've been there. And my dear friend and colleague, Brother Yesu Padam, that we work with there, was married to a woman who died of cancer. We met her after she died of cancer. What's that? We met her after she died of cancer. You say, okay, explain that. Well, she had gotten cancer, spread through her brain, spread through her spine. She was crippled. She was in a hospital in the city there where they are in India and pronounced dead. Of course, she'd been crippled for some time before that. They put the sheet over her. There was one brother praying by the bedside and kind of grieving, and Brother Yesu Padam just felt overwhelmed with gratefulness to God for the years they had together and was pledging his life again afresh to the Lord, you know, to serve him as a single man and committing his kids to the Lord, etc., etc. About 15 minutes later, suddenly the sheet comes off of her. She throws the sheet off and, did you hear that? Did you hear him? What? Did you hear him? She heard Jesus calling her in her dialect. She responded. She heard this beautiful music. And so the next thing, she's in her body. And she says, I'm healed. She throws the sheet off, gets out of bed, starts jumping up and down. We met her after that. Now, when we met her, she was sick with something again. And a couple years after that, went to be with the Lord. She was legitimately raised from the dead and then went to be with the Lord. And God supernaturally brought a woman from Canada together with Yesu Ponham to start a new family together. That's a whole other wild story. Next time I have him in the studio with me, we'll have to tell it. That is a wild story. But these things do happen. Let me say this. There are lots of flaky reports. And I have not investigated the report from Florida. The reason I take it seriously is because the man is a known cardiologist, because this happened in a hospital, and because local news reported on it, and the man that died and came back is a witness to the mercy of God. But I want to encourage you to do this. Don't base your theology on experience either way. Don't base your theology on the presence of a miracle or the absence of a miracle. Base your theology on what the Scripture says. And study the Word and do your best to, we've all heard stuff in the churches in which we were saved, or the way that we were raised in the Lord as kids, or the circle of believers that we're with. So we all have certain preconceived ideas about what Scripture does and doesn't say. But do your best next time reading through the Word, reading through the New Testament, to say, okay, does it say that the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit is for today? Was it just for the early church? Is it to continue? If I didn't know anything else aside from what was written in the New Testament, what conclusion would I come to? I wanted to share that with you. I was going to make it the topic of the entire show, but it was such an amazing story. I wanted to share it with you. Let me switch gears, though. Okay, are you ready for a radical shift, like going in one direction 80 miles an hour, and suddenly you throw the car in reverse, you go in the other direction 80 miles an hour? Okay, we're about to make a radical shift. Oh, before we do that, today, hour and a half from now, I will have the joy of hosting for my friend Stu Epperson and doing Truth Talk Live. So all of you that get Truth Talk Live, I encourage you to listen in. Those that listen by internet to this show, you can listen at the same link to Truth Talk Live. The show today is entitled, I Was Not Predestined to Be a Calvinist. Maybe you chose to be a Calvinist by your own free will. Okay, having a little fun there. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my own story, and I'm going to ask for your story. Were you once a Calvinist and you no longer are? Were you once a non-Calvinist and now you are? And I'm just going to find out quickly what happened and why. So we're not going to debate the issue. We're going to hear some stories and exchange our own discussion about how, based on the Word or experiencing God, our views changed. Okay. How do you feel about putting Scripture references on U.S. military weapons? How do you feel about Jesus bombs? Let's say that the Taliban were bombing some group somewhere. And, you know, when you look at Pakistan, Afghanistan, most of the violence taking place is Muslim against Muslim. You realize that. But all the more reason to pray for the Muslim people to know the true God and to see who Jesus really is. Okay, but let's say that the Muslims were putting scriptures from the Quran, verses, which is scripture to them, verses from the Quran, and praying over the bombs before they sent the bombs out. And these bombs are blowing up not just military people, but they're blowing up men, women, and children. How would you feel about that? Would that confirm to you that Islam is violent? It was disturbing to me to see in Israel, because this is not the normal pattern in Israel. You'll find it much more in Islam. But to see some Israelis, you know, writing some messages, you know, negative messages to the people that were going to be bombed. Okay, this bomb's going, you know, and may it hit its target kind of deal, and almost mocking the people. Again, that's not the norm in Israel. But that disturbed me as a Jew to see that sentiment, which is not the norm. Again, I repeat that, but it's much more common in the Islamic world. But Jesus and bombs? Bombs with scripture verses? Could you imagine sending out a bomb and dropping it on people? And on the bomb, John 3:16 is written? Or perhaps I just don't understand the Christian role of the military and God's role in backing our military. Perhaps there's another side to the story. We'll get your take on this when we come back on the Line of Fire.
the Truth Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today, Michael Brown. Glad to be with you. Hey, Josh, I know you're only 22, but I just sent you a note. Yes, sir. I wasn't calling you sir in the senior way, but saying, yes, sir, you bet, buddy, I'll get on that request. But at 22, man, yeah, probably not quite sir yet. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. But doing an awfully good job in the production booth there, buddy. Okay, there's an article a lot of people see. It's on Drudge Report, ABC News. U.S. military weapons inscribed with secret Jesus Bible codes. Coded references to New Testament Bible passages about Jesus Christ are inscribed on high-powered rifle sights provided to the U.S. military by a Michigan company, an ABC News investigation has found. The sights are used by U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan and in the training of Iraqi and Afghan soldiers. The maker of the sights, Trijicon is a $660 million multi-year contract to provide up to 800,000 sights to the Marine Corps and additional contracts to provide sights to the U.S. Army. So these are not bombs, but high-powered rifle sights. So this is a way that people can obviously see their target better. So you'll see, you know, here's code of different things that's just serial code, whatever, and then it'll have JN812. John 8:12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Trijicon confirmed, or Trijicon, sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, confirmed to abcnews.com that it adds the biblical codes to the sites sold to the U.S. military. Tom Munson, director of sales and marketing for Trijicon, which is based in Wixom, Michigan, I'm often getting these names at least half right, said the inscriptions have always been there and said there was nothing wrong or illegal with adding them. Munson said the issue was being raised by a group that is not Christian. The company said the practice began under its founder, Glenn Binden, a devout Christian from South Africa who was killed in a 2003 plane crash. There's more to this in a moment that I'll get into. I want to get some calls first. But I don't think there's anything illegal about it. I can't imagine that it would be illegal for a company if they want to put a reference to Scripture, they want to put a reference to Quran, they want to put a reference to any religious book or non-religious book, you know, just a reference to it. I can't imagine there's anything wrong with that. You say, no, but it's meant that someone in the military will look at it and then see it and look at the Scripture. Is that wrong? Well, it's their prerogative to do it. Someone can choose not to buy it. Others says, no, look, this is just like firearms of Jesus Christ. You know, this is just like Taliban stuff. So, I mean, is this crossing the lines philosophically? Or is this someone who's a godly person committed to Jesus saying, we're making these weapons and our company is Christian and everything we have is going to have a Christian stamp on it? Or you think, how can you be Christian and make rifles to kill people? That's not Christian. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to our first topic of the day about God raising the dead. Bill in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Oh, well, aside from sneezing a lot, I'm doing great.
I know you said earlier you were sick. I know. I'll be praying for you.
Thanks. I mean, I was really run down, like flu-like stuff, sinus infection, the end of the year, and then I've been great, you know, back to normal. And just last night, today, just sneezed and felt like a cold. It's like, great. We'll talk about raising the dead while I'm sitting there sneezing. So, but I'm doing great. Thank you, Bill.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Well, as far as it messing with my theology, no, not at all. I believe that if it's God's will, hey, God can do what he wants. If he has a purpose for this man's life and a man of true faith who believes in Christ prayed for him, it's not unbelievable to me at all, you know. In Scripture, Paul raised the dead from his belief in Christ. And, you know, our Savior himself died and was resurrected 3 days later. And we're told in the last days, all the dead in Christ is going to rise. And those who aren't will be caught up in the air. So like I said, if this was a purpose for God and he may want this man's soul to turn to him, sure, I believe that it could be raised.
So, right, so you make the great point. You have resurrections from the dead in the Bible, and then the foundation of our faith, our Savior died and rose, and the thing we're looking forward to is his return when all the dead in Christ will rise. What if someone says, yeah, okay, look, Jesus rising from dead, that's one thing, and our future resurrection is another thing, but like miracles like this, they only happen in Bible days, and they're not for today anymore. How would you respond to that?
Well, I just have to respond, if you're a true believer in the Christ we serve, and God, I don't know how you couldn't believe in miracles, or if something like that could be done. He showed his miracles all throughout the Bible, in Old Testament times and in New Testament. So if you believe in one true God, it's not written off that it couldn't be done today.
Yeah, you know, Bill,
he's the same God today that he was then.
Yeah, I'm so thoroughly with you on that, Bill. You know, I guess I'd say to someone, please show me where this was only for Bible days. Please
That's
show
right.
me the chapter and the verse, because I got plenty of chapters and verses that go in the other direction. But
right.
And you're right. How can you really walk with God and not believe that he does miracles today? Obviously, we don't snap our fingers and have a miracle every second, and we go through challenges and unanswered prayers like everybody else. But when you're really walking with God, you do see his hand. One way or another, you see God working and acting, and he demonstrates that he's the living God.
That's right.
Hey, Bill, thanks for the call, and thanks for your prayers, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I hope you get well soon, bud.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'm on the mend already. Thank you. You know, normally I wouldn't say anything about sneezing or coughing, except that I don't want to sneeze or cough on the air. And thankfully, we are 40 minutes into the program and all clear so far. It just struck me, like I said, as ironic that I'm going to play a clip about someone being raised from the dead in between my sneezing and coughing. Okay. And I'm happy to talk more about that issue. I'm so with Bill and what he said there in agreement. But let me go back to this military weapons inscribed with Jesus Bible codes. Does that strike you as a contradiction? Here is a high-powered rifle. The purpose of the high-powered rifle is not shooting practice. It's not getting out there in some shooting range and practicing. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is not to wow people with technology. The purpose is not to have a beautiful piece of equipment. I'm not a gun person or into guns, but I'm sure these pieces of equipment are amazingly made and do their job. The purpose of the rifle is to kill people. You say, yeah, but if it's in a just war, we're not talking about a sniper on the street trying to kill people, innocent people. We're talking about used in warfare. It could be used to protect our citizens. It could be used to defend liberty. It could be used to help stop some tyrant from killing other people. So it's necessary violence to stop greater and worse violence. I understand the philosophy behind it. But does it strike? I'm asking a question, especially if you're in the military as a Christian. And I have plenty of friends who are committed Christians and in the military, and not just as chaplains. I mean serving in the military in military positions and who did bombing raids in different countries as Christians. Do you find this contradictory? Scripture verses on rifle sights. Is there anything contradictory about that? Didn't Jesus say, put down your sword, everyone who lives by the sword will die by the sword? Or am I taking that out of context? We will talk further when we return on The Line of Fire.
God of light.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, glad to be with you. We started the show talking about God raising the dead today and played a news clip, an amazing account, the prayer of a cardiologist, a spirit-filled man of faith cardiologist praying over someone that was pronounced dead, body black with death, no heartbeat over 40 minutes, prayed, shocked the person once more, came back perfectly. Amazing account. And then I shifted over to controversy about U.S. military weapons inscribed with secret Jesus Bible codes, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is it incompatible with your faith to put on a weapon that is going to be used to kill people, scripture verses, scripture references, or if it's a Christian company, they want to stamp everything they have, let it be. Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org is the way to email me. before I read a little bit more about this controversy, a couple other quick comments. Number one, I'm holding in my hands a book I'm excited to have in my hands at last, but I'll tell you about it tomorrow because we don't have info on our website yet. So give me a day or so to get that info together. It was just placed in my hands during the break. I'm flipping through the pages now. No, it's not my Jeremiah commentary yet. God willing, very soon. In fact, I've been expecting to have that in my hands any day for days now also. But something else that is exciting to me I want to share with you. Of course, everybody is talking about the big win in Massachusetts and what it implies, the big senatorial win, Senator Brown. And I'm not getting into a discussion of that only because we're not a political program. And I bring up issues of kingdom interest. And this is definitely of kingdom interest, but I'm not focusing on it right now, except to say what I said at the end of our broadcast on Martin Luther King Day on Monday, which is this. This has nothing to do with race. I want to encourage you not to think for a minute if someone is rejecting President Obama's agenda or the direction he wants to take the country that it has anything to do with race, because many of the people that voted for Senator Brown, like 22% of them, had voted for Mr. Obama to be president. So it wasn't a race issue then. Their shift is not due to race. And people are absolutely incensed with Senator Harry Reid and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. It's not because they don't like white people. It's not because they don't like men or they don't like women. It's the agenda. It's the direction. So whether you agree with the direction or not, it's not the issue. I just want to strongly caution you, do not allow this for a split second to be a race issue in your mind. If you do, I believe you'll really get off track and open your mind to negative thoughts that are destructive and not constructive and not true. Okay, here's some of the controversy about these rifles. The company's vision, which I've pronounced as Trijicon or Trijicon, because I don't know how, I'd say Trijicon is more likely, but if I'll stand corrected, whatever it is. The company's vision is described on its website. Guided by our values, we endeavor to have our products used wherever precision among aiming solutions are required to protect individual freedom. We believe that America is great when its people are good. This goodness has been based on biblical standards throughout our history, and we will strive to follow those morals. Spokespeople for the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps both said their services were unaware of the biblical markings. They said officials were discussing what steps, if any, to take in the wake of the ABC News report. It is not known how many Trijicon sites, these are rifle sites, high-powered rifles, are currently used in use by the U.S. military. But what's the amount? $660 million multi-year contract to provide up to 800,000 sites to the Marine Corps and other contracts for the U.S. Army. The biblical references appear in the same type, font, and size as the model numbers on the company's advanced combat optical guides. So if you just would look at this, you'd see a series of numbers. You wouldn't even realize it's then an abbreviation for a biblical verse following. But there's an argument from Mikey Weinstein. Yeah. Presumably a liberal Jew of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. That's my guess. I could be wrong. He said it's wrong. It violates the Constitution. It violates a number of federal laws. It allows the Mujahideen, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and the insurrectionists and jihadists to claim they're being shot by Jesus rifles, he said. Weinstein, an attorney and former Air Force officer, said many members of his group who currently serve in the military have complained about the markings on the sites. He also claimed they've told them that commanders have referred to weapons with the sights as spiritually transformed firearms of Jesus Christ. He said coded biblical inscriptions play into the hands of those who are calling this a crusade. He said this is probably the best example of violation of the separation of church and state in this country. It's literally pushing fundamentalist Christianity at the point of a gun against the people that were fighting or emboldening an enemy. I think he makes some fair points, and I think he makes a ridiculous point. This has nothing to do with separation of church and state. This is a company selling to the military. Military can buy from whoever they want based on the quality of what they're getting. But is some food for thought here. We'll talk about it. And I got a wild story from school here in America when we come back. All right. I have been sent some important information by our faithful and tireless listener, Bill Fawcett, to help me understand the Trijicon biblical references. So this will shed a little more light. Are we ready? Still, the larger question remains about scriptures on military weapons, etc. That's a separate question. We can take that up more another day. But here's the email I just got. Thanks, Bill, as always, for your timely comments. You need to understand, Bill writes, Trijicon sights, these are the rifle sights, high-powered rifles, use a glow-in-the-dark, slightly radioactive dots on them so that they can be used in dim light situations. The light of life, John 8:12, and then light to shine, God's quote is light to shine in our hearts from 2 Corinthians 4. These are verses they have references. Were probably due to the now deceased owner, a play on words, and for the little note there, not entirely relevant. So thanks, Bill, for sending that in. That explains why those verses are there in particular. But check this out. Check this out. WorldNet Daily reports that the Supreme Court has refused to hear a case where a... So John Whitehead, president of Rutherford Institute, is reporting this, and WorldNet Daily covers it. Here's the deal. Donna Bush, 2004, accepted an invitation to visit her son Wesley's kindergarten classroom at Culbertson Elementary School to read a passage of Wesley's favorite book to his classmates. Wesley's teacher had invited Bush because the boy was the featured student of, quote, All About Me, a school event to feature a particular student and emphasize the student's personal characteristics, preferences, and personality in classroom activities. So his favorite book was the Bible. His mother was going to read from Psalm 118. Now remember, there were times in our history where the Bible was used as a textbook in our classes. And I've got a primer from the late 1800s where the ABCs, A, all have sinned. B, believe in the Lord Jesus. I mean, that's how they're learning the alphabet, okay, in association with scripture verses. So the Bible's been used at different times in our classrooms, at the very least as a book to know and understand, if not as a religious book. So the mother's going to read Psalm 118. And when she prepared to read from the Bible, Wesley's teacher instructed her not to do so until Principal Thomas Cook could determine whether it would be acceptable. According to the Rutherford Institute, the principal informed Mrs. Bush that she could not read from the Bible in the classroom because it was against the law and that the reading would violate separation of church and state. There we have it again, separation of church and state. According to this report, the then school administrators offered Wesley's mother an opportunity to read from a book about witches, witchcraft, and Halloween. So, of course, this case has been fought. Made its way to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court chose not to hear it. Now, of course, they have plenty of cases. There are only so many they can hear, but you would think this one is so outrageous, so egregious, that it should be heard. And the Supreme Court decision not to hear the case creates unwelcome precedents, according to John Whitehead. If these acts of censorship and discrimination are allowed to continue, there will be absolutely no freedom for religious people in public schools in this country. Would you say together with me, wow? Wow? This is where we need to stand up and do what's right. No, not force religion on people that don't want it, and not force Christianity on people that don't want it, but to say freedom of speech, freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And again, please show me in the Constitution separation of church and state. And what does it actually mean? But listen, friends, if we as God's people will live right, stand up for what's right, America will be changed for the better. Join me in an hour, if you can, on Truth Talk Live, where I talk about why I was not predestined to be a Calvinist. Join us next week, January 26th, 27th, my debate with fine apologist James White on Calvinism. Be blessed.
This is the Truth Radio Network.